Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
I hope when you hear that music, it reminds you of the importance of this program to you because it is for you. And the music really reflects home and family finance, or as we say it even more precisely, are you financially fit? And that's what this show is all about, making you financially fit in every possible way. And you do that by becoming an educated consumer to all the possibilities, all the things that are there that will work for you. And as I am want to do every week, and I will do it again, explaining what is meant by financially fit. Are you making more than you spend, or are you spending more than you make? Do you have 6 months of survival funds in your savings account, adding up all of your expenses, putting the total amount of that in a savings account for 6 months, and then leaving it there, not touching it? Why? Well, things happen. Bad things can happen. But you know that you've got 6 months of survival funds there that are going to get you through until something good happens. And then I want you to put aside at least 3 months of emergency funds, something much less probably, but there, so that when the relatives, the neighbors, the whomever, friends call and say, help me, you don't have to dip into anything. You can say, yeah, I've got a couple of dollars saved for you. I want it back. But yeah, I'll give you this, whatever you think that ought to be. And that you can have more flexibility with, but have it there and have it in place. Okay. And then finally, the most important, are you saving at least 5% of everything you make? 5% of your weekly or monthly income. Every payday, pay yourself first. Put aside 5% of that income. I'd like it to be 20%, but I'm being real. I know how tough things are. And especially around this time of the year, Christmas, holidays, however you spend it, however you say it, whatever you do, it's a time when we do reach out to our friends, our neighbors, our families, and we exchange gifts and we share things, some of it expensive. And that's what we want to talk about today, because there are so many different ways that you can make a difference in the lives of those you love. But have you thought about a college savings plan? Now, you probably are saying, what the heck is that, Paul? And that's what we're going to talk about. My guest today is joining us is Mary Morris. She is the – well, she makes the whole thing work, if you will. Well, are you there anywhere, Mary?
And thank you for saying that. I know a lot about saving for college, so and love to talk about it and love to help families figure out how to plan and save for higher education.
Absolutely. Folks, I want you to – all the other things you're planning to do, and listen to me. I know you're planning to give so-and-so this and that and that and so-and-so, and every one of them has a child or a grandchild. Listen to what we're proposing to you today, because this is going to be the most important gift that you can give to anybody that you love and care about. You hear that? Okay. Mary, explain to us, and by the way, she's chair of the College Savings Foundation, and so she knows a thing or two about it. Explain to us the college savings plan, what that means across this country.
Thanks. Sure. So every state, with the exception of one, Wyoming, but they work in conjunction with Colorado, offers a 529 college savings program, and some of them are – most of them are open to folks in their state or outside of their state. I run the Virginia program, and I also get to chair the College Savings Foundation. So I always encourage folks to look to their state's plan first, see if that's the best fit for you, see if there are tax advantages that make it the right one, but you can generally look around and find other options as well. And what it provides is a tax-advantaged way to save for higher education. So it's after-tax dollars that go in, unfortunately. Someday maybe we'll get around to that. But then it grows tax-free and is never taxed as long as those funds are used for qualified higher education expenses. So it's hard to get a better deal than that. And in 34 states, most of the states that have a state income tax provide either a deduction or a credit against state income taxes for your contributions. So that's an additional benefit that you have with these. And then there's some special estate tax rules that make them even better for gifting purposes.
Okay. Now, let me ask the basic question. Why save for college? Why is it important that we save for college?
Well, I've spent most of my career working in education initiatives and higher education, and there are so many studies, and you can look at the College Board and so many things that show your quality of life is just better with some higher education, and I use that term really broadly, some post-secondary education, a training certificate, a two-year college degree, a four-year college degree, and then you can go on to graduate school, all of those things, but something beyond high school is really almost required in our society today mm-hmm. to really get you where you want to be so that you can have a family, take care of your family, take care of yourself. But quality of life is better. Even your health tends to be better. Your happiness tends to be better with higher education because you're going to have more opportunities for what you can do with your life. And so being prepared for that and being able to afford it is really important.
And so, look, there's no negative argument about that, or should be. There's nothing that's going to be wrong or bad than seeking higher education. And this is what college education offers you. Now, this program, 529, means that you are obliged to save a lot of money, tax dollars, by investing in the program. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Mary to explain that you can invest in your children, but others as well. We're going to broaden this out so that you understand how this works. And I want you to stop right now and hold on to those money, because I want you to start saving for some kid that you know. Maybe your own, maybe not. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We'll be right back.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
Yeah. Are you in the mood? I hope you are. Because I know that many of you are right now planning to go out and do some shopping, and you're going to buy here, you're going to go to the stores, or you're going to fly down to the Bahamas, or whatever you're going to do. And I think that's great, okay? But first and foremost, let's look out for the education of our young people. Every parent out there is going to appreciate it, including you. So Mary, my comment and my guest is Mary Morris, head of the College Savings Foundation, is don't give anything but the College Savings Foundation gift. How's that sound?
Right. That sounds good to me. It really is. It's a great present. And we're getting better in the college savings industry at providing opportunities for folks to make gifts of 529 contributions. That's something that we were, I think, a little bit late to the game in figuring out, and a lot of the gifting platforms have really helped us with that. Gift of College is one right now that is doing, for the first time ever, physical gift cards. They're in California. They're going to be in Virginia later in the spring.
Right.
So that's really moving out. But every state just about has some way to do it. Some you have to actually write a check and send it in. Some they have online ways to do it. Some allow you to leverage social media to let your friends and family know that you would love to have a contribution to your 529 accounts for your kids made as a Christmas present, birthday present, bar mitzvah present, whatever
right.
it happens to be. And we've tried to make it easier.
Can you set up your own account for some other kid, for somebody else's
kid?
You
absolutely can, yes.
All right,
so,
that's it.
So 529s are nice. You can own the account yourself, so a grandparent can open up an account. They can control that account. It's a great estate planning tool because it is considered a completed gift for estate planning purposes, but you still get to keep control of it. So if you have five grandchildren and you have accounts for each one, but one doesn't end up needing the funds or using the funds, you can change beneficiaries. So you've got some flexibility, even though you've completed the contribution for estate tax purposes. And you can ensure that the funds are actually used for higher education, or you can make a contribution to someone else's account. So a lot of flexibility there in terms of who can own the account and how you can make contributions.
And again, the importance, I hope you hear this, is that it doesn't have to be your kid. It can be your grandchild, it can be a friend, it can be anyone that you want and you care about, that you understand the importance of higher education and saving for college. And this is the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, ultimately, you're going to be able to say to whomever, we've provided this for your kid, or you start it and you can let it grow, because there's a limit, but it's a pretty high limit in how much you can give. Is that right?
Right, it's a very high limit. There's no annual limit. Virginia right now, it's as much as $500,000 you can save for college. It's a little scary to think that you might actually be able to spend that much for college, but you can, in fact, with graduate school and all of that. But the College Savings Foundation, it's something that we've really spent a lot of time on the last few years. And the foundation is a consortium, really, an organization of 529 plans and others who work in the 529 industry from around the country. And we advocate. We try to get the word out, so we do surveys. And we try to do programs like this to make sure people are aware, first of all, what 529s are, that they're a tax-advantaged way to save for college, and then to help families figure out how to make it work, how to save enough, and not worry about, you know, saving everything, save mm-hmm. as much as you can. And gifting is a great way to do that. So you put in what you can, and then you can say to your friends and your family, hey, if you're going to make a gift for whatever the holiday, whatever the occasion is, please consider a gift. And we're finding that the more we talk about it and the more other people are comfortable with using gifting platforms, you know, GoFundMe sites, things like that, we're finding a lot more interest in gifting to 529 programs. And our most recent survey said that 41% of parents said that gift cards or gift certificates they would find useful. They'd opt for online gifting tools. And, I mean, folks, go to our collegesavingsfoundation.org website. You can find our November press release that has some specific information on some of our member programs and how you can make a gift using the tools that they provide on their 529 platform.
You know,
so we've got some good information
you
there.
You sure do. Every state has a 529 plan in some form or fashion, with the exception, I think it's sort of Colorado or Wyoming, one of those two.
Wyoming, but even they work with Colorado.
And yeah. They're teaming up. So now look, I know that you're going to buy gifts for kids. I'd want one, and I'm not saying you don't do that, folks. But what I am saying to you is that the more important gift that you can give is the savings account. Not only are you saving for their college, but you're teaching them the importance of saving. I'm talking about children out there, kids out there saying, oh, okay, right, because the time will come when they will look at that amount of money and it will make a difference in terms of whether they even go to school. And you will have made that difference. I can't, it's just so important. So right now, say, you know, this is what I'm going to do it. And every Christmas, I'm going to do the same thing and add to that. When we come back, we'll talk more about how you can make this a part of your life and a part of the life of your friends and family. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. You're listening to Home and Family Finance on Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. My guest today, Mary Morris, chair of the College Savings Foundation. And we're talking about savings again and again. Our program sponsors are the Defense Credit Union Council and the Credit Union National Association. Both want you to save. They both want you to be financially fit. And if it's a topic that you want us to talk about, get in touch with me here at hffradio.com. Again, hffradio.com. Tell me what you want me to talk about, and if it makes sense, and I'm sure it will, we'll do that. The Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of Military Saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves, a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves, set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. Go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And you don't have to be in the military to set up an automatic program. Save at your bank, save at your lending institution, save at your credit union. I don't care where you save, as long as you do save. And if you're looking for a place, why not save for children by joining into the program with the 529 programs that are the savings programs that are available all over these United States. Mary Morris is my guest. She's chair of the College Savings Foundation. And what she has said today is really interesting, because they're all different kinds of ways now. They've really kind of joined the programs have joined the 21st century with gift cards and online stuff. You can do it so many ways, right, Mary?
That's right. We're trying to make it easier. And like I said, I wish we had started earlier. But I think everyone started, all of a sudden the light bulb went on. We said, this is a perfect gift. Why have we not been talking about this more? And so all of us around the country do talk about it. As I said, I have the privilege of running the Virginia 529 program. And if you go to our website, the first thing you see is the little tag for Give the Gift of Education. And I think you'll see that's pretty much around the country that during the month of December, we know it's a time when people are making gifts, making contributions, setting up accounts. Again, 34 states give a tax deduction for your contributions, so a lot of folks want to make that contribution before the end of 2016, so it all comes together. And it is just a great way to make a lasting gift, a gift that really makes a difference in the lives of people that you care about.
That's right, folks. Whether the child is just born or 5 years or 10 years old, it's never too late to say, okay, I'm going to start a program here for the holidays. Every holiday, every Christmas, every Hanukkah, however you celebrate, I'm going to save and make a large portion of what I plan to buy and put that in a college savings program to add that to this child or that child's fund. Now, they may not appreciate it now, but I can tell you, they may think they want the toy now and they got to have this, but I can tell you in a few years, they will look back and say, thank you so much, Dad, Mom, Auntie, Uncle, Cousin, Grandma, whomever, friend, thank you for help, and families as well. But the other part of this, Mary, is that you, the giver, there's a tax reward in this, right?
Exactly. Yeah, what you're saying is so true. It's the thing that people will remember the rest of their lives, the people that helped them get their college education or get their higher education, because that will be with them and will help them the rest of their lives. And so, yes, depends on where you are. In a lot of states, you have to be the account owner to get the tax deduction. But as we said, anyone can open up an account. They can be the account owner, and then they get the tax deduction. But if you're a grandparent and you want to give a gift both to your kids and your grandkids, then make a contribution to your kids' account. They get the tax deduction for that contribution, and the grandkids get the benefit of having their 529 account grow. So,
and you don't have to go crazy.
It's a win-win all the way around.
You don't have to go crazy trying to decide what to give.
Exactly.
You know, you can say, okay, what I did to the parents of or to your children, I have put this money in your part of the gift or most of it or whatever. And, you know, yeah, as I said, maybe they're not smiling as much as they would be if you handed them some one of these crazy toys, things out here to buy. But in years to come, my friends.
Yeah, well, I always think, you know, a little something, a little tangible gift along with that envelope that you can give to the parents, and little kids really don't notice or care. And again, most of us have nice certificates that you can print or gift cards, so it looks like a gift. And, you know, quite honestly, kids are used to getting gift cards, so that can be kind of a fun gift as well. They know that it has meaning, and you'd be surprised, particularly as they get older, they're thinking about how they're going to do what they want to do and how not to have to work while they're in school, perhaps. So,
Mary Morris, I absolutely love you for being here, for what you do, and for joining me and helping me convince folks to do this. Would you come back after the new year? Let's see how we're doing, okay?
I love it. I'll come back anytime.
Happy holidays to you, Mary. Still to come, the most expensive time of the year. Stay with us.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
I got a call from Kaylee McCarvey, who represents Kiplinger, and we have folks from there on very often, as you know, because they have great topics and they have great people who are expert in knowing what to talk about and how to explain it to you. And one of the things she pointed out is the most wonderful time of the year is also perhaps the most expensive time of the year. And as we look forward to the holidays, there, of course, is the pang of dread. What will my bank account look like after this? Because none of us, most of us don't budget the proper way. And so we end up spending more than we plan to, and then we have to pay the price. But Bob Need is an award-winning journalist who lives in Northern Virginia. He has worked for online and print news organizations as a longtime writer and editor in the Washington, D.C. area. He has an article in Kiplinger this month, kiplinger.com, and you can go there and see it. I did. And it's about the most expensive time of the year and ways to earn extra cash for the holidays. And he's come up with some unique ways that you might not even think about that may help you in terms of putting some extra money aside so that you can buy the gifts that you want. Bob, happy holidays and welcome to the program.
Happy holidays to you too, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. We're very pleased to have you. And I kind of laughed at some of these items because I would never have thought of them. But have you tried any of them yourself to get some extra cash?
As a longtime spender, yes, I have tried some of them. I'm one of these people who start panicking right about now, thinking I got to get more presents, and
yeah.
I start using my credit card more and more, and I don't want to do that. And as you pointed out, a lot of people don't. So I did dive into some areas, and I kind of was surprised at a few of them myself, and how easy they were or how unusual they were.
Yeah. Some of, like, for instance, you can sell your – all of us have got the extra – I think most of us have devices around, tablets or cell phones or whatever. I never thought about that. They sit in the drawer. But you're saying pull them out, and there are agencies and organizations that will pay you for them.
Yes, there are. You can sell them online. Some of the organizations include GameStop. They'll pay you for it. Gazelle.com will pay you for your items. Also, NextWorth.com is another one. They're all outlined in my story that's online at Kiplinger. And I was in the Apple store yesterday, and they'll actually take, if it's a newer device, they'll actually take a trade-in and give you a gift card on site there.
Wow. So they really do want these items back, and they'll pay you. In other words, it's worth it doing it. You're not getting chump change. You're getting some actual cash back that can help you.
You're getting some – I would call it a little bit a chump change because you're not getting a lot for it, but it's a little pocket money, and it's a little extra money we could all use at this time of year.
What is the most unusual thing that you found to your way of thinking?
Let's see.
And I don't mean to hang you out there. There are just so many different ideas, you know, that when I looked through it, I said, yeah, I never thought about that. You know, like stocking stuff, unclaimed property, you know, for either tax refunds or money that I've got out there that's available if I know how to find it.
That's the one I was going to hit on, actually, because that kind of surprised me. And I, of course, immediately put my name in there to see if there was any unclaimed property in my name, and sadly, there wasn't. But there are state and federal sites where you can go to find unclaimed property, which could include uncashed dividend checks that you forgot about, maybe some stock that your parents gave you or something like that, returned utility deposits, unclaimed state tax refunds. They're all out there on state sites and federal sites.
The thing that is of interest to me is that once you see them, they're so common sense. For instance, everybody waits to April 15th. Or until they file their taxes to get when they know they've got a huge return coming back. But you don't have to wait if you know that you got a return. You can kind of help yourself on that, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you adjust your tax withholding at any time, you know, a lot of people say, why let the government have the money that's due you? Why bank it with them when you can have it in your every week paycheck or your monthly paycheck?
It's not difficult to do. What do you have to do?
Oh no! Just go to your HR office, and you look. You want to get your adjustment made through your W-4, and that can be all be done rather quickly.
Well, folks, what you know, and Bob, I think you make the point is that these are not, you know, we're not talking about situations that require a great deal of think. It just deals a little bit of do, of saying, okay, I can do that. For instance, I never thought about joining in groups that were, you know, market research firms. In other words, they pay people to participate, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's not a lot of money, but they do pay you. Also, there are you'll see some sites in my article about participating in clinical trials. You can also be on mock juries that lawyer sites set up, and they'll pay you for that, for your opinion there.
So, really?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a surprising one.
So what do I have to do? I mean, where do I go to get that kind of information or figure out how to do it?
Best way to do is go to the 17 Ways to Earn Extra Cash for the Holidays, and I have links in there that will take you to a couple of different legal sites that will are looking for mock jurors.
Now, and folks, a mock jury is exactly that. It's they're trying to figure out what the outcome of a trial might be. So mm-hmm. let's just be sure that people understand they're not exposed in any form or fashion. They're not going to send anybody to jail or not. They're just simply going to come on and say, "Here's how I feel about the evidence that's presented as it would be in a regular trial." Is that how that works?
Exactly.
How much can you make of that, Bob?
Off the top of my head, it's not a lot of money.
but some money.
It's some money. And it's pocket money that you could use at this time of year to help pay for some of these things. And also, I want to point out, Paul, that a lot of these 17 ways to earn extra cash for holidays will carry over into the year. It's not just for the holidays.
For the holidays. Okay, hold on. Hold that thought, because when I come back, I know you got your list, and I want to go. Some of these folks are really very good, and you can do it. I'm talking with Bob Neat, Kiplinger Magazine, Ways You Can Make Money This Year. We'll be right back.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry.
Doesn't that get you in the mood? I love this time of the year. How about you? I mean, I really do. I love the sound of Christmas, the sound of the holidays. And I know everybody doesn't call it Christmas, but whatever you call it, I hope that you're in the mood and you're feeling good about it, because it's so important. This is the best way that you, and I'm talking about all of those out there in my audience, you can learn about new concepts, ideas, things that you hadn't thought about before. That's what we're here to do, to make you an educated consumer so that you become someone who, is financially fit. At the end of the day, you've got savings, you're doing the right thing. Bob Neat is my guest today. He is an online editor for Kiplinger.com. He's been an adjunct professor of print, online, and visual journalism at Syracuse University and Ithaca College. His journalism career includes covering breaking and in-depth financial and business news, as well as entertainment. So we're very pleased to have him as he talks about his article, which you can find online at Kiplinger.com. And he's really giving you some new ideas, some new ways that you could, at this very expensive time of the year, maybe save a dollar or two and make a dollar or two so that you don't kill your budget. Go ahead, Bob. You had some other thoughts here.
Right. So a couple that surprised me I didn't know about. Since I don't buy clothes a lot, but how about selling gently worn clothing? If it's not too worn out, I mean, if you didn't buy it in 1987, like most of my wardrobe, there's a couple sites. One is called ThreadUp, ThreadUp.com.
Okay.
And
okay.
Another is called TheRealReal.com. And you can earn up to 70% of the resale value in cash for some of these items.
Wow, and I love that you called it gently worn clothes.
Gently worn,
so don't bring something over there with holes in it or that you know is threadbare, because that's not going to work, is it?
No, not at all.
Are these different shops around that you can find? How do you find them, Bob?
Oh, consignment shops are all around many towns, and put in consignment shop and the name of your town or where you're looking for, and a bunch will pop up. And that's another good way to sell gently worn clothing and other household items, of course.
Mm-hmm. How does it work? For those who've never been to a consignment shop or haven't thought about it, how do they work?
Well, the you take the item in and set a price with the owner of the shop. It will be on display and with a price tag on it in the shop. And you will get a cut of that, and when the item is sold, and the store operator will get probably a little bit larger cut of it.
Okay. But it's not going to make any money sitting in your closet.
Exactly.
It's so true. I mean, but there at least it's out, and somebody might not only are you making some money, but you're giving somebody something to wear that otherwise might not be able to afford what they really want to wear.
Exactly.
Okay, I get it. Okay. Go ahead. What else you got?
Well, another one is how about tutoring or teaching? If you're especially if you're fluent in a foreign language,
yeah.
Maybe it's your native tongue, that you can teach students. You can make $15 to $30 an hour tutoring either grade school children or college students back from on break. And they need some help with a foreign language.
Don't you have to have a certificate to do that?
If you're doing this on the side, it depends on where you're doing it. Like you mentioned, I was an adjunct professor at
right.
a couple different colleges, universities. I did have to have a degree for that, and I did have to be an expert at journalism in this case, but
mm-hmm.
not for everything. I mean, there are things you can teach that you don't have to have a certificate in. Maybe a musical instrument, for example.
Okay. That's a great idea. So if you've got skill, like you said, language, or you know you're an expert, or at least you have great experience in an area, you might be able to. And we're not talking about a profession, though, are we, Bob? We're talking about coming in and filling in or being there at a specific time when you can make a difference and keep things going.
Right. And here's another one. How about becoming a substitute teacher? A lot of times you don't have to have you might have to have your college degree for that, but you don't have to be a specialist in education to be a substitute teacher. And I found this company who is hired by school districts to find substitute teachers, and you could apply on there to become a substitute teacher. It's called Source, the numeral 4, teachers.com. And you can make anywhere between $90 and $120 per day in some school districts substitute teaching.
Wow. Really? And without a teaching certificate, as long as you've got the experience and a degree.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Are a lot of people doing that? I guess there's a big
apparently,
need for it.
Apparently so. This company seems to be rife with substitutes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that a lot of school districts are outsourcing their search for substitute teachers with professional companies like this.
Well, you know, look, that's good money. I mean, that's, you know, if you're trying to kind of fill the budget up and keep it at a level, that's a nice, tidy little sum of money that you could be bringing in, and it probably doesn't hurt too much if you can, you don't mind putting
right.
up with the kids in class. What else?
Right.
Go ahead.
This time of year, also, a lot of teachers are taking some days off, too, to do their own holiday shopping, so there are probably quite a few openings available.
Yeah. So, and again, in this case, do you contact the school? How do you find out?
Well, you could either contact the school and find out if they're a part of this outsourcing company, or go directly to the website of this outsource company and see if your district is involved in it.
So, and most of these things, and this is what surprises me, and you've proven that most of these they're already set up to help you find them and do what you want to do. I mean, you don't have to go search too hard to find ways to get into and to say, okay, I'm gonna teach or I'm gonna do this or whatever. There are agencies set up already to help you do that.
Right, exactly.
Wow. Oh, I love it. Okay. We're talking with Bob Neat. We're talking about ways you can make money this holiday season without busting your budget. When we come back, we'll find out what else is on his list. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. Listening to Home and Family Finance, I'm your host, Paul Berry, on the Radio America Network. And folks, we're so happy to be with you here on the holiday season. We hope you're in the mood. Things are going well for you. You've put together that savings that we've been talking about. Remember, at the top of the show, I talked to you about being financially fit. And one of the sure ways that you can be financially fit is to have the correct amount of your money or some monies in savings. You have your emergency fund and your survival funds, and they are in place, and you're saving at least 5% every payday. Now, if you're doing that, you've got some dollars to play with. Don't bust your budget by going out buying more than you can afford. I mean, this is very simple. Don't do that. Stay within your budget. You're not going to impress anybody for the rest of the year. Stay within your budget. And believe me, come January 1st, you're not sitting there saying, oh, how am I going to now handle credit cards that are maxed out? That's so silly. Don't do it. It's dumb. Just call it away. That's dumb to do. Don't do it. Okay? Now, with me is Bob Neat, who says there are ways that you can supplement your budget by working on some various various interesting ways, making some extra money. You're not going to make a killing. We're not talking about getting rich, but we are talking about adding dollars to your account and to your budget so that you can afford to do some of the things you want to do. And if you can't afford to do it, don't spend the money. But, Bob, there are other ways as well that you can make some money. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. This is good. A lot of these aren't, like, really work. I mean, a lot of them are fun ideas and things you didn't know about. Here's one that really surprised me and I had a lot of fun with was, how about becoming a tour guide?
A tour guide?
A tour guide.
You mean taking people around a city, I guess, something that you know a lot about, obviously.
Sure. I mean, if you're a history buff and you got a lot of history in your town, you may be able to make a little money on the side by taking tourists around and showing them the sites, giving them some background information, and just being a genial host.
Wow.
There are a couple of ways to do this that will guide you through it. There's a travel guide site called Vayable, VAYABLE.com,
mm-hmm.
and they hire guides and offer guides, and you might get a tour of the White House by a White House press corps, former White House press corps member. These range in price from about $25 per person to $200 per person, and you would get a cut of that.
What a great idea. So if, for instance, I work on Capitol Hill, I guess that's who, and some of the guys down there or aides, they could take me around, that's a great way. Or if you are one of those, I guess, are there restrictions on this?
Yeah, you have to be knowledgeable in it, and you're not going to have White House access unless the guide has clearance and can take you through there.
Right.
So don't expect you're going to walk in and see President Obama or President Trump or anybody right away.
Yeah.
There are credentials that they have to have and criteria. Another one is licensed battlefield guides of Gettysburg. There's some rigorous training to become a licensed battlefield guide, but there's some serious money to be made doing that as well.
Is that part of the National Park Service? Do they run those kind of guides?
It's not part of the it's licensed and regulated by the National Park Service.
Okay.
It's not
okay.
A part of the National Park Service.
Okay.
But they are the only ones that can give paid tours of Gettysburg.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you, they are expert.
Mm. Sounds like it. Now, if I wanted to do that, I'd have to spend some time, I guess, getting prepared to be a guide. I mean, you just can't just pop over.
A lot of reading and a lot of testing.
Yeah, you can't just pop over, right?
No.
You know, the next one that I saw on your list I thought was hilarious, and that is, what a great idea, a runner. Consider earning extra bucks by running a running tour guide. Really, Bob, a running tour?
Really, running tours, it's a thing now. I didn't even know about this, but pop on over to my story, and I have a connection to this site that trains and hires guys to give you a running tour of, say, if you are in downtown D.C., they'll give you a running tour of the National Mall.
Wow, what a great idea. So you get physically in shape. Sweat and sightsee, as you say in your article. I think it's lovely. That's a wonderful idea. There are so many different ways, as Bob has told you about, folks. So don't get up off your hiney and say, okay, what are we going to do? We're going to make some money and have some fun in the process. Bob, thank you so much for joining us here on Home and Family Finance. And by the way, thank you for writing this story. And again, it's on Kiplinger.com. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay. Have a happy holiday, my friend.
Thank you, Paul.
You bet. It's a pleasure talking with you. Okay, I hope you enjoyed it, folks. Some new ideas, some new ways. Be financially fit. And the best of holidays to you this season. We'll be back same time, same place next week right here. See you then.